Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, with a fun show for you as we head into February. It's winter here in Colorado again. We had kind of late spring, and then we ratcheted back to winter. We now had snow this morning, so we just can't get it straight around here, but that's okay. Later on in the show, an inbox question with Candace. She is back to talk to us about relationship goals and someone's frustration about waiting on the Lord when other people kind of seem to just move along in what they're hoping for with their relationships. What does it mean when we have to sit back and wait? So she'll provide some great insight on that. And then our culture segment, we have Margaret Feinberg, those of you who are familiar with her, author and speaker, on her new book, Wonderstruck. So if you need a little bit more wonder in your life, you have come to the right place. I know I had to figure out what in the world she was talking about because I don't sit around and think about how can I get more wonder in my
life. But now you will, right?
Now I will. Now Martha and I are going to be doing that every day as part of our jobs. It's going to be like, how do we make this wonderful? So that'll be good. And here we are for our round table with an awesome mixed group again. Martha is here to my right. Hey.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I'm a little disappointed. Why are you wearing black when we're talking about...
Because it is cold outside and it's snowing and it's just a sad day.
It's not very appropriate for a roundtable discussion, but that is okay.
That's true. It's true. I wasn't thinking about our topic.
We'll have to put a sticker on her or something. We'll see how we do. And then we have two new guys to the bunch. Adam, welcome.
Hey.
Welcome. Very good to have you here. Both Boundless fans, I will say. And Austin.
Hello.
Austin, great to have
yes.
you. So, new to the Boundless show as far as guests, but not new as listeners. So,
No, not.
And they're both guys, in case you didn't notice.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we have
Yes, we are.
So, I know my voices can be a little more high pitched at times, but.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, we are talking today. When we head into February, some of you guys give a collective groan like, what are we going to talk about this month? Because we know that February features, among other things, Valentine's Day. We call it the love month, okay, or some people do. Maybe Hallmark does, I guess. maybe you don't call it that. But it's interesting because we, you know, the common themes crop up during February. And here at Focus, you know, our marriage team talks about what they have calling it the date night challenge, and they're challenging married couples. Mm-hmm. There are Valentine's Day banquets out there. There are radio contests. There are couples getaways. So what does that mean for us? What do we have for single young adults? And I would venture to say that Jesus probably did not invent Valentine's Day. I don't recall him mentioning it in any
Sounds
of the...
Sounds like a safe bet to me.
In any of the Gospels. Yet we feel this obligation to do something. So we either get like super negative about it or we try to muster up this this positive vibe around Valentine's Day and February. So I want to start out because we're gonna talk about kind of turning February and Valentine's Day in particular kind of on its ear. And I want to start out by asking you guys, what does February and Valentine's Day in particular usually look like for you, like historically or now? Have you had to just like muster up some positivity towards it, or what's your general take on it?
I have a whole box of Valentine's Day decorations at my house that usually try to wait till February to just put some things up around the house. And I love to bake like sugar cookies and shapes of hearts.
Mm-hmm. Do you decorate them?
Decorate them, yes, and share them. And so typically, I like to dig right into all the pink and redness of it all.
That's good. Well, we will be expecting those cookies to show up at the office within the next couple weeks, FYI.
Yes, and at Paradigms.
Yeah. Yeah. Austin and Martha are in a small group together, so now he's capitalizing on that as well.
Yeah,
so,
pink and red. I love those colors.
Right.
I would just wear them all the time and decorate everything with them if I could.
No, that's true. What does this look like for guys? You guys have to...
I have, you know, oddly enough, I don't think I've been in a relationship over the period of Valentine's Day. Now, I could be wrong, but, you know, I think as a guy, what Valentine's Day means to you is that day that you get to show your girlfriend or your spouse, your wife, how much she means to you. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's an inherently other-centric holiday. I think that's a cultural expectation. I also just think that we as men, I mean, yeah, hearts, candy, that's so much fun. No, I mean, it's really, it is a holiday that exists for you to demonstrate something to someone else. Mm-hmm. As a guy, I don't see, you know, it's not like I go and, you know, buy a lot of chocolate or do something like that. If there's not a woman in my life in that moment, I don't to me, Valentine's Day is kind of just another day. It's mm-hmm. not something I mean, I'll be happy for my friends, you know, encourage my brother or who's married or the other men in my life. Hey, you know, make sure you make this special for your wife or your girlfriend. But as far as me personally, mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I've talked to guys who have this fear around Valentine's Day that, like, if the relationship isn't big enough, it's like a big dump time for guys because they don't want to walk through Valentine's Day with someone unless they're pretty sure, you know, they fear this, like, am I really into her enough? Can I really go through Valentine's Day or should I just end it because there's a lot of pressure around the holiday? I don't know. Yeah. How about you, Austin?
So most of my life, February has just been another month, February 14th, another day. Mm-hmm. The only exception has been when I was just started to get interested in a girl, and it was right in February. Mm-hmm. And so it actually precipitated the relationship starting probably sooner than it should have.
Okay.
And then ended a month later. So that's really my only experience with doing something special for February 14th.
Yeah, I'm sure there's more than a few single guys. I can think of times when I've done this or other guy friends I know where they're like, February 14th, that's the day I'm going to make something happen with this girl I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those always... You know, some girls love it. Oh, a surprise Valentine. Oh, you know, you use that as a moment to kick a relationship off and start it. Mm-hmm. And other times it's just like, why did you do that? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can be a good springboard into something new if you've been thinking and praying about it and looking to pursue something.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because now as I think back on it too, I do not believe been in a relationship over Valentine's Day either, in part because I can think of two relationships where I was dumped on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Okay.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. And let's be honest about
like
that. So I was
just
still healing over Valentine's Day. Yeah. And I didn't get a rebound relationship, unfortunately, to carry me through Valentine's Day. So I just had to
recover
from the wounds. Yeah, exactly.
Rebound relationship.
So, I mean, some of you out there may be in a relationship. Some of you aren't. Either way, we're thinking, okay, as we tackle February, what can this look like for us? And we are going to talk about doing something new this year and maybe issuing a little challenge in light of that, and to make it not just about cupids and hearts and chocolates and romantic love, because regardless of whether you are in a romantic relationship, we are called to love everyone. Mm-hmm. I just got back from Indiana. I was at Indiana Wesleyan speaking in their chapel there, and the message I gave was on the value and the mandate, really, for us to love one another. And I kind of called it, because it was January when I was there now, and I kind of called it a sanctity of human life issue, and how every encounter that we have with everyone, we are adding value to them or we are taking value away based on how we treat them. And are we loving them as Christ loved them? And John 13:35 says, by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I sometimes don't feel that enough during the week or during our average day, we think, how am I being called to love this person who's right in front of me? We love loving the people that we don't see because we can abstractly love them. But how do we love these people that are like, oh my goodness, they're just in my business.
Or it's not enough to see or talk to you. I find it so easy.
Exactly.
To love you.
Or worse, the people that we just don't even really like, we just think they're kind of boring or they're kind of forgettable. You know, we want to go to the people that we think are cool or could add value to us. So
people are difficult.
Right. And we don't know. I mean, we may be those people, you know, we don't know.
What?
not Martha. But, you know, I mean, who knows what people think of us? And maybe they're like, they're hard to love or I don't even, you know, I forget them all the time.
Interesting.
So I know it's sad. But so I want to ask you guys now then, what does it mean for you? I mean, talking about, I just threw out John 13:35 and loving one another. What is something unexpected? I mean, I want to talk about us feeling loved. What is something unexpected maybe that made you feel loved at one point? A scenario in your life, whether it was someone that just stepped out and you really felt like you had value added to you in that circumstance.
This is a small thing, but I live with a few other guys, and so there's not the romantic side of things at all, but just just to clarify that.
What do you mean? What about a bromance?
It's when those roses were given to you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But whenever, like, my roommate will have an extra steak and throw it on and cook dinner for me.
Oh.
And it's something small, but I feel served, and mm-hmm. yeah, makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And it's a small way, I think, showing love in a purely platonic way.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say one of the things I've appreciated the most, both in college and when moving out to a new place like Colorado Springs, when you're just trying to get established in an area, trying to build community, trying to make friends, when someone goes out of their way to invite you to something, to include you into a group, to make an invitation, say, hey, why don't you come join us for a movie? Why don't you come join us for this game of Frisbee or something like that? When someone welcomes you into a closer group of friends, that for me sends a lot. It sends a big message of love and care and just a willingness to be Christ-like to others. That's a big one for me.
That's good. There's one thing that I'm remembering of around Christmas time. My sister dropped off like a plate of cookies and a little note for me at work to come down and pick up at the front desk. And she has 3 kids. And I know for her to pack them all up and bring them in the van and drive down the street to do that for me took a lot of time, but just really appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's great because I think there's this perception. I mean, I've heard it from people, especially married moms that have young kids, that we wouldn't need that kind of expression because certainly as single people, our lives are so exciting and we're always out doing lunch with friends or doing dinner or whatever. And it's usually the moms and stuff that think, I'm the forgotten one and stuff. So for her to step out and recognize that, you know what, my sister would probably benefit from this and would probably be blessed by this. That's really cool. I think for me, it's anytime anyone chooses to single me out and want to spend time with me just as me, I really appreciate that and get to know me because, I'm kind of that person that, let's throw Lisa into this party because she'll talk to people and she'll be, I'm kind of like the, Lisa, say something crazy or say
you're
a funny
entertainment
story. Yeah, I can be the free entertainment, which I should probably start charging for it. But, I'm kind of that person that's like always good to add to the mix because I'll like talking to people and I'll ask questions and I'll liven something up or whatever.
Facilitator.
Right.
Of conversation. I've played that role myself several times.
Party in a box. So to not feel like I have to be on or I have to provide something, but to just be in a good conversation with someone is always good for me. I like to be part of that. So so let's talk about showing love to others then, because I want to say by the end of this roundtable, we're going to issue a challenge to everyone to love intentionally and extravagantly and uniquely people that may not receive a lot of love. And I've shared this example recently of how I went home for Christmas and had a lot of time to spend with my mom, and my mom's in an assisted living place right now. And I just, like, as I picked my mom up to take her home, to take her to my sister's farm for Christmas Eve and Christmas and whatever, there were just some older people, like, sitting there in their wheelchairs and stuff. And I was, like, literally, like, I'm going to burst into tears if I even think that these people are going to be sitting here by themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, so passionate about people that are forgotten, like the elderly or the disabled and stuff. And that's just something for me that always brings something like that to mind. And I just wanted to gather them all up and get like a 15-passenger van and just bring them all home for Christmas because I was so fearful that they didn't have anyone. But what would you guys say? Like, what is a prompt maybe for you to say, here's something where I want to show love? Do you have instances like that?
Yeah, I think time is a big one. I think you've had Gary Chapman on here as a guest before talking about, at least I know you've discussed the 5 love languages a good bit, and that's been really instructive for me as I try and think about and categorize. I'm kind of an analytical, categorical thinker, and so it helps me understand, okay, all the different ways that I can potentially show love and trying to understand people and the ways in which they'll most receive like the love I want to communicate to them. For me, I think time is a big one for most people. We kind of did an unofficial survey in my small group, and quality time was by far the most common amongst all of us singles. And I think that it's because we're all so busy. We do so much. We fill our lives with so many things. As singles, we watch our friends get married, and then their lives and schedules get full up, and it's even harder to get time with them. My brother got married about 1.5 years ago. And so that's been, I love my sister-in-law. It's been great to add a sister to the family because we're like 4 boys and 1 girl. So she provides great balance. But it did change my relationship with my brother. And so I think as singles, there's this desire, hey, We don't want to be left out. We feel love when people give us their time because it's one of their more valuable commodities that they can't get any more of.
So how would you say, Adam, you can do that better? Because I think for a lot of singles, it's like, yeah, I'm going to hang out with you if you happen to be at the same event or if it's convenient or if it's whatever. But if you intentionally go after someone to show value by wanting to spend time, what does that look like for you?
I think that's initiating events and planning things and also just saying, hey, I noticed this X happened in your life. Do you want to talk about it? Do you have time? Can we grab coffee? Can I take you out to dinner? Can we do something like that? I think that coupling attentiveness, you know, attention to detail and what's going on in someone's life with a desire to single them out for attention and time to spend and talk sends a huge, kind of a double message that you're valued. I want to show love to you. And, you know, you're my brother or sister in Christ, and I care about you.
For myself, I'm still figuring out what it looks like. You know, when Jesus says love everyone, it's like, well, there's 7 billion people in the world. How do you love everyone?
You can only get to 6. Let's be honest, limited resources.
Right. And so praying about, God, who do you want me to be intentional with my time? You know, there's a lot of people that I intersect with. Who can I be intentional about getting to know and finding out what their love language is, what makes them feel loved, and then making attempts in those areas.
Yeah. I think I have to guard against fatigue or emotional relational fatigue. I think as singles, our lives can be a little more transient. We move around more. We travel in more circles. We come into contact with more people. And I'm an extrovert, so I love that. I thrive on new groups of people. But you know, after building a community where I'm from in Georgia for 20 years, then going off to college for 3 years, you know, those are both very close-knit friend groups. Then moving out to Colorado Springs, I found myself just, even after 6 months, not really knowing many people, not building many relationships, not really investing. And I had to stop and think and realize I'm just worn out. I have all these friends from back in college I'm trying to keep up with, all these friends from home I'd like to keep up with. And I don't know how long I'm going to be here. So do I really want to invest? Do I really want to get to know people? And I honestly think you really need to lean on Christ in that situation more than any other, because he's constantly going to be bringing new people into your life. You know, if we're called to love the whole world, then we may get to more than just 6 in our lifetime. And I think it's really, really important for us to lean on him to give us the energy and the strength to continually pour ourselves out and into those that we meet, because otherwise it's just so easy to just clam up and say, all right, social capacity is full. I can't get to know any more people, can't build any more relationships. I'm just tired.
That's interesting to hear that from an extrovert.
I know. I never thought I'd come to that day. I never thought I'd come to that moment, but I did.
I think one thing that comes naturally or easily to me is to bring cookies into work or to send a care package or kind of like those tangible gift things. But one area that I'd like to grow in is just giving people my full attention, because I mean, if I'm on a task, I'm very task oriented. Like, please do not interrupt, because I'm focusing on this over here, you know. But even like taking the time to call my sister on a Saturday morning when I might would rather be reading a book, rather than, I mean, calling her intentionally instead of on my commute home from work, like multitasking, just to be focused on people in the moment, I think is a great way to show love.
Yeah, that's good. And I think it's so, one thing I've just noticed as I've reflected on this a little bit, and as I reflected preparing that talk that I gave, that whole idea of, like, you see how people brighten up and how people just come alive when you really do call something out of them that is good. And you really, I mean, I'm reminded of scripture, you know, Gideon, when God calls him mighty warrior, when he's basically like hiding, you know, I mean, he basically calls him and names him as something that is only going to be manifest later in his life. Yeah, but he calls that
prophetic.
Out of him. Yeah, he calls that out of him. And just calling out how you are seeing God working in people's lives. And to, you know, raise that bar and to say, you know, I see this in you and this encourages me in you, and to just be intentional and to be specific in something. Because I think it's so easy for us to say, you know, we go onto someone's Facebook page and just like a comment and think, well, you know, okay, that's enough. You know, I mean, you cannot just like someone's status update and feel, you know, so how can we do that.
Facebook isn't a love language?
Well, it is for some people. Yeah. I do know. Yeah, it can be for some people. But I've seen another thing I spoke at recently was with a group of Abilene Christian students. And I was just telling Martha this morning that they were instructed by their the division leader, the department head, to write thank you notes to all the speakers. And so I've been getting over the past few weeks thank you notes, like handwritten thank you notes from them.
Wow.
And it's just reminded me of how much of an impact that could have, because it's so rare nowadays, you know, to not either ignore someone completely or shoot them an email or whatever. And so I think now in February, I'm going to pick some people and handwrite some notes of just sit down and think of some things that I want to say to them, or that I've maybe thought to myself but have never spoken, and do that. And I'm thinking that's just something that I want to be intentional about doing. Any other things that you guys think you might do? Because you know, folks, here we go. Go on the blog right now. This is, we're going to be challenging you to do this as well.
I know for people, just to tag on with what you said, Lisa, that people that I know that have the gift of encouragement and really can genuinely speak that life into someone else whenever mm-hmm. they've spoken things to me has been huge.
I would like to point out, I do not have it. I'm going to be very intentional about doing it and do it instead, but go ahead.
And I don't either, so.
Don't say you don't have the gift of encouragement and cannot do it. I have the gift of rebuke, but I'm not going to use it in February.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so just along the same lines of being intentional about seeing the good in other people and taking the time to call that out. And for me, it doesn't come naturally, so I have to exercise it. And that's something I could grow in for sure.
Hmm.
I think that, I don't know, it's funny because words of affirmation, there's another love language right there. I respond very strongly to words of encouragement. That's one of my top two. And I think that, is it Proverbs, I believe, where Solomon says that fitting words or words well and aptly spoken are like apples of gold and settings of silver. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of reflects, you know, that's a word picture that evokes a lot of artistry, a lot of time and effort and skill. And I think likewise, the gift of encouragement requires attentiveness. It requires knowing someone, looking into their lives, and being tuned in to who they are. And the Holy Spirit, and so knowing when and what to say. It's like, hey, I've been watching this person. I've seen these things about them. Let me offer a word of encouragement that's motivated by what I see. Calling, like you said earlier, calling that out of them, calling things out of them they don't know. I mean, one of the reasons I like words of affirmation, and I hope that I provide this to others when I give them to them, is this idea of setting the internal narrative in their heads. I think a lot of us, especially if you're by yourself a lot, you can sometimes get in negative patterns of thinking, or you can start to see yourself in a distorted way, a way that's not consistent with who you are as a child of God, or with that's not consistent with what God's doing in your life. But, you know, you're with yourself and your own thoughts, and a lot of times the attacks of the devil way more than you are with other Christians, hearing them speak. And so I think that's why the gift of encouragement is so important, because it's a reminder, hey, the Holy Spirit is in you. God is at work in you. He's doing good things. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, it says, I'm confident this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And when I'm feeling depressed or upset with like sin and frustration in my life, when someone comes in and says, hey, I see the good work that Christ is doing in you, that he's faithful to complete it, and look at this evidence of that. I'm like, whoa, you're right. You know, that it instantly counteracts the narrative that's going on in my head. And so I intentionally seek out opportunities to provide that to other people, to especially if I know that they're struggling. Hey, the lies that Satan's probably telling you in your mind right now are not true. They're not the ultimate reality. This is what's true. This is what I see. This is what the Holy Spirit's doing.
Couple of things that I'm hoping to do this month is to send a care package to a sister. I'm talking about my sisters a lot today. I love them.
This is in addition to the cookies that she's going to bake every day and bring into the office.
How many do
you
have?
No, that's the other thing. I've already thought, you know, of what I might want to bring to work coming up for Valentine's Day or
you
something like
that.
You
need to do the snickerdoodles again.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Special request. Special requests. They were fabulous.
Noted. Yes.
It was like eating a blob of butter. It's like a baked piece of butter. Yep. They were very good.
It's the key to French cooking.
She does snickerdoodles very well.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I'll keep that in mind. I was, or cake pops is what I was thinking about.
Very those fun. Are amazing.
Those, love, yeah, those are very fun too. But, yeah. So, okay, here's my challenge to you guys. I want you to pick a couple people. And I'm talking to the round table as well as all y'all out there. A couple people that you are very close to that you could love in an unexpected way. So something that they're not going to expect this month. So something that's not the usual, not just like I see you every day, so let me just, you know, whatever. Your good friends, your family members, whatever. Something unexpected. And then I want you to pick a couple of people who would not expect anything from you. People that are just, they wouldn't even consider you to be on their radar, okay? So someone that you can easily speak into, maybe someone that does not receive encouragement, or you know that maybe they're new to town where you are, maybe they don't have a lot of friends, maybe they are forgotten, maybe they just wouldn't expect anything from you. And find some way to love them in a tangible and intentional way. And then tell us what you're going to do on the blog. Share ideas. And we are going to start a February love revolution here that doesn't have anything to do with hearts and candies and, you know, romantic kind of stuff or whatever. If you got that going on, you just fit that in too, okay? That is totally legit. That is totally fine. You fit that in, but you think of the others out there because we want to love as Christ first loved us. So thank you guys for being willing to do that. We're going to check in with you guys again, make sure that you're doing it.
Okay.
We don't just come on this show and just abstractly throw things out there. We follow up with you, okay?
Challenge accepted.
Exactly. Well. So, and weigh in on the blog too with what you guys are doing. And then responses and just kind of what you learn out of that. We'll talk about that in March a little bit. So thank you guys.
My pleasure, Lisa. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.